I want to read to us out of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1. We're going to read all the way through verse 20, and then we're going to get stuck into this incredible series in unpacking God's Word. Amen. This is what it says, 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another by faith, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." Take a breath. Verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." No, it is not Jack Daniels. Got that smooth Tennessee whiskey. Where's Aaron? You want to hear Aaron sing that song? It's fantastic. Verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many's. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less, a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a singular member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." The Church of Jesus Christ globally is one big body. Ears, nose, toes, fingers, stomachs, hearts, lungs, all sorts of different body parts. But the church is one big body, and that body is made up of many different and diverse people and personalities. And each person has varying and different roles, responsibilities, gifts, and talents that were all given to each one of us as a free gift from God. We need each other. We need to protect each other. We should be thankful for each other, because the nose is not in competition with the foot, and the tongue is not in competition with the hand. The body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, globally throughout the world, each individual makes up that body in each different and diverse and wonderful ways, with different roles in the body, different responsibilities in the body, and different gifts and different talents. Now, by yelling out inappropriately, who, if you could pick a body part, what would you be? A toe? Who thinks that would be a foot? Someone said they'll take a foot. That's a little bit creepy. But what I want to say today is this. The goal of this sermon series is to help us all in our local body find out in some capacity where we fit in the body of Christ and to identify what our spiritual gifts are and to learn how to use them to help strengthen and build up the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. Our goal is to work through this over the next few weeks. We'll be doing this in life groups as well for those who are in the study groups of life groups to figure out where we fit in this extremely large body of Christ and how we can best use our gifts to help advance God's kingdom, to encourage and build up God's people. Amen. So very quickly today, very quickly, we'll see how true that is in a minute. But I just want to walk us through the first passage of scripture that we read today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1. And we're going to get through a bunch of this stuff to help bring some clarity, to help bring some information. And I want us to take a look at the varying different spiritual gifts that the Bible records so that as we work through this, we have context and understanding for what we're looking at, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that you were pagan. So when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. The first line the Apostle Paul gives us is he says, now concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual things, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. We have to understand that spiritual things and spiritual giftings are an important part of the body of Christ and the teaching of the Bible. Paul is writing to the Corinthians saying, about these things, it's important that you're not ignorant, that you're not uninformed, but more importantly, that you're not ill-informed. And now I want to bring some clarity to some questions you have, is what Paul's telling them. And I want to help you understand the variety of giftings that make up one body. And so the context here, Paul says, you know, I don't want you to be uninformed because when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. And what's happening here is Paul is speaking to people in the city called Corinth and in Greece. And the city of Corinth was a culture that was infected with worldly sensuality, immorality, worldly glory, human triumph, eloquent speech, and natural strength. It's where they used to perform games where the Olympics kind of came from, where there were these competitions, and it was a culture not unlike our current culture that was obsessed with sensuality, immorality, and being the best person you can be. Human triumph, worldly glory, being famous, being recognized by people all around the place, eloquent speech and natural strength. And what happened in this culture is Paul came in, and sometimes when there's an ungodly culture or an ungodly spirit, one of the best ways to have influence and not be influenced is to come in the opposite spirit. And what's happening here is in this city of Corinth, the church there was not influencing the world, it was being influenced by the world. And so Paul is saying, you know, if we read through the entire book of Corinthians, there's all sorts of crazy behavior happening, not just in Corinth, but in the church of Corinth, even to the point of Paul earlier has to rebuke somebody in the congregation who's sleeping with his mother-in-law to clarify, hey, just so you know, I know you came from this lifestyle, but in the church, this is not really appropriate. Anybody agree with that? Okay, good. Just checking. You do never know. It's 2023. But see, Paul here is coming into a culture, speaking to a church that's being influenced by the culture, influenced by the world, rather than being an influence in the world. And so Paul comes in a what we would call the opposite spirit to what's happening around the place. And we even see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1, the Apostle Paul writes them. He says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided," so Paul decided to come in the opposite spirit, "to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was weak with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not with plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." Paul said, "I'm coming in and I decided to not come in and try and impress you with that which already impresses you, to try and come and meet you where you're at." He said, "I'm going to come in the opposite spirit, and where you value human wisdom and lofty speech and performance and persuasion, I'm going to come in a different angle. I'm going to come in a different spirit, and I'm going to preach simply, and I'm going to dumb it down so that you don't find favor in me and faith in me, but I'm going to demonstrate what the Spirit can do when there's a humble vessel willing to be obedient to God rather than to men." And he says, "I come with a demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God, so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of a man, in the worldly glory of man, but that your faith and the response and that which you experience and that which you feel and that which you come to understand would come from not the wisdom of man, but the glory and the power of God." Amen. It's not unlike our world and culture today, that preachers who have the responsibility to stand up and proclaim God's word, we need to preach the gospel with humility, simplicity, and a demonstration of the Spirit of God and His power. Because a well-crafted message might inspire somebody, but a Spirit-empowered message will break bondage, it'll bring freedom, it will save souls, and it will transform people's lives today and, more importantly, for eternity. Amen? So Paul came in the opposite spirit, saying, "Hey, you're all about the things of the flesh, you're all about the things of the natural." And he said, "But I want to come and bring you something different, something supernatural, not of this world, so that you wouldn't be influenced by the world, but you would have an ability from God to influence the world that you're going into." Paul continues in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 12 and 3. He says, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Now, what Paul was saying here is he had been written, some questions had been sent to him around controversy, around two still very controversial things, especially here in the South, of speaking in tongues and the gift of prophecy. And these things were causing a ruckus within the church that was going on, and some things were a little bit uncertain. Some people were unsure of things. There was chaos. There was people trying to one-up each other and say, "My prophetic word's better than your prophetic word, and I'm more spiritual than you because I speak in heavenly tongues and languages." And all this was going on, and then they started to have accusations around, "Well, is this godly? Is this not godly? Can you do this? Can you do that? What's appropriate?" And so Paul comes in to bring clarity, and he says, "Hey, just settle down for a minute. I'm going to explain to you these gifts. I'm going to give you some church order and instruction in a minute." He said, "But I need you to know this first." He says that anyone speaking in the Spirit of God, if they say Jesus is accursed, it's impossible. Meaning that anyone who claims to be a prophet but speaks against Jesus is a false prophet. So don't worry about them. And anyone that comes to you pretending to be spiritual and offering up prophecy and words from God and they're giving lip service and saying Jesus is Lord, yet their life represents a totally different direction and demeanor, that's a false prophet. He's like, so just quickly, before we go anywhere, if anyone's cursing Jesus and is against Jesus and against what Jesus is saying, that's not a prophet. Doesn't matter how fancy their words sound. Doesn't matter how accurate their prophecy is. If they're against Jesus, we don't want it. He comes in and says, and anyone who keeps their mouth pure and says all the right things and looks the same way, saying Jesus is Lord, this is not a scripture of someone who's demon possessed. And you say, can you say Jesus is Lord? And they say Jesus is Lord. You think, well, they're not demon possessed anymore. It's a load of garbage. I've heard many demonically inspired people happily say, yeah, Jesus is Lord. And I'm like, you're a liar. And it's this big, anyway, that's for another session. But what he's saying is if their life doesn't line up as one that has made Jesus as Lord, which means they submit and surrender to his word, his ways, and his will, then that person is not of God. So he brings clarity for a minute, and he says, hey guys, just clarifying, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul then moves on and he says in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activity, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul says there are a variety of gifts, but there's one Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He says there's a variety of service, but it's the same Lord, speaking of Jesus. And he says it's a variety of activities, but it is God who empowers them all. The Spirit gives, the Son serves, and God the Father empowers people to serve for the common good. The Father sent the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life, and the Spirit gives gifts. The Spirit gives life, and he gives gifts. And that's what we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about, these gifts that God gives to men. And it's so important that we understand that the reason God gives us gifts is to build and encourage and equip the body of Christ and to see people saved. It is for the common good. That means to serve one another, amen? And so the first thing I want us to look at here is this. Who gets the spiritual gifts? And the answer is simple. It's spiritual people. It's followers of Jesus. Because when you become a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and seals the promise. And you become a child of God. And now you are a child of God. You can be a receiver of the gifts of your good Father. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is speaking of the gifts. For to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That means the showing of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given. What that's telling us is if you are a follower of Christ, that you have the capacity to walk in a gift from God. And we'll get to it at the end. But I believe that every single Christian has a gift, a spiritual gift from God, whether you realize it or not, whether you've activated it or not, whether you're walking in it or not, that the Spirit of God has given gifts to each one for the common good. And so what are the gifts for? The gifts are given to be used, as I said before, for the common good of building up the church, strengthening the church, and for winning people to Jesus. And here is a little key to why there are problems in the Corinthian church, because there wasn't clarity, is that the gifts are for service, not for status. The gifts are given to the people of God, not to find out who's more important, not to find out a hierarchy of this person should be lauded and worshiped because they have so many giftings that are so powerful. You see, someone who entices you to worship them or celebrate them because of their gift has missed it, because the gifts of God, the Bible says, are for service, for serving one another. It's not for status to impress one another. And this is why we are living in the aftermath of the damage of so many people who have gone before us, had a gift from God, a powerful gift from God, and they used it, they exploited it, they monetized it, and they used it to gain status and notoriety and influence into the world that took over, and it was from selfish gain and not from a service to the world. And what happens is the Bible teaches that the gift of God are without repentance, meaning He's not going to take them away just because you're a mess up. Because they're a gift. And what happens is we've been twisted and manipulated, and because of that, rejected in so many different ways, because gifts have been misused and abused. And what's happened is people are like, well, I don't want that. And it's this idea that says, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And what's happened is there's this beautiful baby in the bath called the gifts of the Spirit, and the water has gotten dirty, and so they've emptied the bath and the baby's gone, and they're missing out on the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts God can give us. And so understand now, it's so important that the gifts of the Spirit are not for status, they are for service. They are for coming in low to build each other up, to serve one another. Amen. Thank you, James. So what are the spiritual gifts? Now, firstly, we're going to walk through this, and some things I know, because people come from many different backgrounds and understandings, might be a little bit different to what you've heard, but I believe what we're going to walk through these next few weeks is what the Bible would clearly hold and teach. And the first thing I want us to understand is that I do not believe that the list that we're going to go through is a comprehensive list of all the spiritual gifts. I don't necessarily believe that the Spirit of God has limited Himself to the list that we're going to go through. I believe these are examples of the things that are spiritual gifts, and I believe that the reference gifts and the highlighted gifts are that way for a purpose. But this is what I truly believe, that a spiritual gift is any ability that the Holy Spirit uses to do life-giving ministry through His people. You know, we have worship leaders, guys who come up here and sing. Now, we're lucky in our church, they're all amazing. But you go to some places, you ever been, and it's just like, what's happening right now? Sounds like a clanging cymbal. It's not even because they don't sound good, you can be talented, but there's a gift to lead people in worship. You know, Dylan is up here week in, week out leading us in worship, and he has an ability and an authority to lead us into a place of worship that's amazing. That's not a natural ability. That's a God-given ability. That's a God-given gift to be able to lead people into the place and the presence of God. And yet, we wouldn't find worship leader in this list of gifts. Now, if you think otherwise, that's totally okay, and we can be friends. I still think Dylan's a good worship leader. I don't know why you don't. But honestly, as we look at this gift, if you believe that this is a comprehensive list of the gifts, the good thing is that, okay, they are in the Bible, and I'm happy for us to sit there, but I personally do not believe it's a comprehensive list of the gifts. However, I believe that the Spirit of God gives gifts, and people use gifts to help build up the body of Christ in different capacities and different ways. That being said, we are going to go through the list of gifts in the Bible to help us understand what we're walking through and what we're journeying through. And then I'm gonna sort of walk through the four passages in the Bible that talk about the gifts. And this is one of the reasons that I don't believe it's a comprehensive list, is because each of these lists are different, but speaking of spiritual gifts, and each of these lists have some similarities and some differences. And if it was a comprehensive list, it would have been appropriate to list them every single time as the official spiritual gifts. However, we're going to have a look at this. So the first one is in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8. This is what it says. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance, or more commonly known as the word of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, or the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So the first two we see here is the word of wisdom as a spiritual gift and the word of knowledge as a spiritual gift. Now, to not disappoint anybody, we're not going to unpack each gift today. We're going to unpack the gifts throughout the next few weeks together. So today we're just going to go through the list, allow you to go home, do some reading, some research, and then come back and we'll keep working together. So the first two, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9, to another, faith. So there's a gift of faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. So we got a gift of faith, and we've got a gift of healing. 1 Corinthians 12, 10 says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, and to another, the ability to distinguish or discern between spirits, and to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. This list here definitely leans heavily on the side of controversial in many different places, experiences, denominations. But here we have the working of miracles, which is important to, is different from gifts of healing. Then there's prophecy, and then there's the discerning of spirits, and then there's speaking in tongues, and then there's the interpretation of tongues. Potentially, those two are the most controversial gifts within the body of Christ today, the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I'm going to devote an entire message to those two gifts, and the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Then we move over to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4. It says, for as in one body we have many members, here it is again, and all the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in his generosity. The one who leads, with zeal or passion. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So here we see a different list of spiritual gifts. The first one being service, serving people. The next one being teaching, teaching people the Bible. The next one being exhorting, or a better word for it's encouragement, so the gift of encouragement. The next one is generosity, the gift of giving. Some of you are like, a spiritual gift is giving? Yes, spiritual gift can be extreme generosity. Doesn't mean just from wealthy people. It means someone who has the ability, and we'll go through this, but to give generously of their time or their money to serve and build up the body of Christ. The next one is the gift of leadership, or then we see the gift of mercy. This is the list we find in the book of Romans. You can see it's a little bit different to the list that was in 1 Corinthians. Then we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11. I understand this is a lot of information, guys, so bear with me here. But Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11. It says, and then he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Here is a list of what we would call church governance or church leadership, which we are also going to devote a whole message on to help us understand what these five people are and what they do. We would call it the fivefold ministry. And this here we're going to look at as a leadership capacity that are given as gifts to people to lead the church. I believe that these are the only five that aren't gifts that are available for everybody, but God specifically sets aside certain leadership within the church, and they have a purpose. It's not status, it's service. The role of the fivefold ministry is not to lord it over people, but is to come and serve people, the Bible says. The job is to equip the people of God in the power of God and in the service of God to build up the church. Amen. Then we jump back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And it says, and God has appointed in the church, here again he references, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Then he leaves out the pastors and the evangelists, which is a little bit offensive, especially if you're one of them. But it's fun. Third teachers. It says, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. So here in this list, we see them talking about, again, the apostles, the prophets, and the teachers, and then he references again miracles and healings. But in this list, he adds the gift of administration. Yes, administration is a spiritual gift. Come on, somebody. Any admins excited about that gift? Come on. Let me tell you, if you don't have that gift, find somebody with it, embrace them, hug them, and never, ever let them go. They will change your life forever. I'm excited to unpack the gift of administration because ultimately, I don't believe it's as simple as being good at organizing calendars. I think it's a spiritual gift that God uses to advance his kingdom in a powerful and profound way. So there we have gifts of helps. So helping people is a gift. Administration is a spiritual gift. And then there we see the gift of various kinds of tongues again. All right. Thank you. The next part I want us to look at is, I'm going to go through those all again, but I've categorized them into three groups to, I think, help us give clarity on the differences in them. And I've categorized it leadership gifts, serving gifts, and miraculous gifts. Now, what's really important, and I want us to understand this a little bit throughout this whole series, you know, during our life groups, we're going to be doing spiritual gift tests. And when we do a spiritual gifts test, it's kind of like a personality test. It is not foolproof. It's important to understand those things. It's important that as we do this, is to help us identify gifts and strengths. But the moment that even a personality test, you allow that personality test to identify and box you into a certain capacity, you limit your capacity and what you're called to do. Same as these giftings, we'll do a spiritual gift test, and there's going to be all sorts of things. Personality tests, if you don't know, change. Take one 10 years from now, and it'll be a little bit different because people grow, we mature, we change, passions change. Same as a spiritual gift test. Spiritual gift test is not in the Bible. It is a man-made, manufactured tool to help bring clarity where there might be confusion. But here in the same way, we've got the leadership gifts, the service gifts, and the miraculous gifts. Now, the reason I say all of that is to say that I believe that those in the leadership category, this is what I believe is talking about church leadership within the body of a local church or a group of churches. But all Christians who are empowered by the Spirit of God in some capacity are leaders and should be leaders. The second is serving gifts, which I've categorized the group here of serving gifts. However, as we mentioned earlier, I believe that all of the gifts are for serving one another. Every gift on the list exists for the common good of serving one another, that I get something from you and you get something from me, that we impart to one another, we encourage each other mutually to grow in our strengths, to grow in our weaknesses, and to fulfill our calling to build up the body of Christ. And then we have the miraculous gifts. And I believe all of the gifts are miraculous because they are spiritual gifts. They are not just natural gifts. I don't believe what we look at here is a natural ability, but I believe we have natural abilities, but are then supernaturally enhanced, and our abilities change and transform because of the Spirit of God inside of us. It's kind of like a human being in the morning, and then you add coffee. You get better. Simple. I tell you all the time, but write it down. Coffee is the fuel that drives the dreams of champions. I'll say it again. Coffee is the fuel that drives the dreams of champions. Where's Levi? You want me to say it again? Coffee is the fuel that drives the dreams of champions. We have a rotating roster in our office of making coffee. No one gets to it because Dan's there every morning, coffee. So I'm going to go through these lists, leadership gifts, service gifts, and miraculous gifts. And we're going to wrap up today and we're going to break these all down over the next few weeks together. I believe it's going to be a profound season for us. I think it's going to be a challenging season for us, but I think out of it, we're going to come out stronger, more intentional in our church life, in our family life, in our business life, and everything that we're called to in this season. So here's my categories. Number one is the leadership gifts, which is simple. It's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, as my translation says, or pastors, and the teachers. This is the leadership gifts that I believe God has given the body of Christ to oversee and to help manage and to serve people, to equip them for their calling as children of God. That's the leadership gifts. The second is the serving gifts, which there's two on here, which some of you are going to think differently, but we'll get there and we can talk about it later on when we get there. But two of them is this, the word of wisdom. The second one's the word of knowledge. The third one is the gift of serving. It's appropriately in the serving gifts category. The gifts of encouragement or exhortation. The gift of giving or generosity. The gift of leadership, because I don't believe the gift of leadership is the same as the fivefold ministry of leadership that God has set up in the church. So there's a gift of leadership for serving people. The gift of mercy. The gift of helps, and the gift of administration. That's the list that I've categorized in the serving gifts. Then the last gifts category is the miraculous gifts, which I believe is the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, the discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, snake handling, and drinking poison. So we'll get to those all at the end. And if you're new, I'm not going to tell you if I'm kidding or not. You have to figure that out for yourself. It's my two favorite gifts right there. Actually, if you know that I don't like snakes. The miraculous gifts. So here we have the broad overview of the context that we're in, that we're all a part of a body, and that the whole reason for this sermon series is to help each one of us, if we don't already know, find our place, our purpose, and our giftings within our local body to serve one another, to care for one another, to encourage one another, to build up one another for the mutual good of our community and the body of Christ, so that we figure out where do we fit in the body. And what I want us to understand, and it's a given, but I want us to know this, is that there are many gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the giver of all the gifts. So we'll go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And verse 11 says this, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. To wrap up this morning, the Holy Spirit is the gift giver. And what I want us to understand here is that these are gifts and not rewards, which means they're not based on performance, but it's based on God's generosity for his purpose. I believe that every believer has a spiritual gift. And I believe the Bible teaches that some believers have many of the gifts. I believe the Bible also teaches us that we should all desire all of the gifts. I also believe that people can get gifts for a moment of need that they don't have or normally function in. And the reason all of this, I believe, is true is because it says that the gifts are given by the Spirit as He wills. It is His idea. It is at His discretion. It's not based on performance. It's not based on behavior. It's based on who you belong to as a child of God. And the Holy Spirit is the giver of all gifts, and He gives them out as He wills, as He needs to accomplish His purpose of building up the church, the body of Christ, equipping the people of God in the power of God, to win the world for Jesus, to influence our world wherever we go, to not be impacted or infected by current culture, but to go in the opposite spirit, the Spirit of God, to influence our culture in our world, to change this generation, to see the lost saved, to see the sick healed, to see the broken restored, to see the orphan find a home, to see the hopeless find hope, to see the broken restored. Because the gifts of God that have somehow found themselves in this controversial category don't need to be controversial if the position and the posture of carrying these free gifts from God are for service and not for status. It's because to love people, not to impress people. And there's so many different questions and ways to look at this. If you do any research, you'll find a million different ways to categorize these gifts, because the categories are also man-made, help us understand and explain. But what's super important, the most important thing you need to know about spiritual gifts, is that it's the Holy Spirit who gives them as He wills and as He desires, for His purpose, for His plan. They are a gift and they are not earned, and they are for service, not status. And in that framework, different ideas and understandings can flourish and do their thing. But what's important is that we clarify and simplify that God has called us for such a time as this, to influence our world for good and for God, to see Nashville come to know Jesus, to see Tennessee impacted by what God's doing in our community, to see the United States trajectory change towards God again, that God would get the glory in this nation, that God would get the glory in how things function, that this would be a nation that truly does put its trust in God again. Take that dollar bill and prophesy that one day we'll believe what it says again when it says, "In God we trust." Because it's not over. It's not over. If there's one person with hope, it's not over. And there are many more than one. We got to get out of the weeds, out of the thicket where all the chaos and confusion is, and stop being influenced by culture. Get out of the mess and allow the Spirit of God to reside upon us and in us and use us in a place of humility, in a place of simplicity, and go back into the thicket to influence culture with the goodness, the mercy, and the power of God. And don't come with wise words of wisdom or trying to impress people, but we come with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that those who come to know Christ wouldn't lord it over a man, wouldn't be impressed by the gifts of a man, but their faith would not be in a human being, a pastor, a preacher, a televangelist, whatever we want to call them, but their faith would be in God alone. And if we can posture ourselves and position ourselves to be that kind of people, then when men or women of God do fall, people's faith doesn't fail, because their faith was never in a man, it was always in God, because the man, at least in one point of his life, yielded himself, humbled himself, and said, this is about God and not me. I'm here to serve and not have status or to be known. I'm here to lay down my life that somebody, if only even one, might come to know Christ. Amen? Come on, let's give Jesus praise this morning.